This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
The next best thing.
Hot boy Dan Lanning.
Is Dan Lanning.
Yes.
To Dan Lanning.
Yeah.
So each week, his appearances here on The Fan brought to you by Unitas Community Credit Union. Like a coach's playbook, Unitas has a winning strategy for your finances. You, us, Unitas. First, he was on the coach's show last night.
Mm-hmm. I catch some of that when I drive home.
Because it's on right after us, on Wednesdays.
Yeah. On The Fan, the radio.
Right here on The Fan.
So he showed up in a hot boy shirt, and I'm going to let Buck describe what that looked like.
Yeah, you can find it on Twitter, but he shows up in a shirt that has the Oregon Duck mascot in like a Gucci tracksuit or Louis tracksuit or some kind of printed tracksuit, sunglasses, and is sitting under like a glittered out sign that says Hot Boys with a Z on the end. And so naturally, Jorgie and Jerry had to ask him about it.
Boy,
you can find it on, it's a great looking shirt.
Boy, do not. And I am telling you right now.
Oh, is that a bad search?
Do not go to Twitter.
What do you got?
And type in Dan Lanning Hot Boys. I'm not kidding.
What?
I'm not kidding. Okay. Don't.
Well, I did actually.
Camera, do not show. This is the second thing down. Like, no. No.
Get the camera off of that.
Yeah, don't.
Take that off your page.
No, that's.
Unless you like it.
No.
I'm okay with that.
No.
To each their own.
Whoa.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Boy, you type in Dan Lanning Hot Boys. That is not what I thought was popping up.
I don't see it here. Buckley.
Buck,
I saw it on Twitter last night. I'll figure out who had it.
Well, when I went over to Joey Harrington's house last weekend or last Friday, whatever.
Yeah.
He was wearing a Dan the Man shirt. Have you seen that?
I've seen plenty of those. When I went down to Ohio State, there were a lot of the Dan the Man shirts.
Yeah. And it's Dan Lanning. It's Dan Lanning's head with the headset, and it just says Dan the Man on it.
Yes.
And he has one of those.
Yeah. I'm still trying to recover from the Ryan Buckley-led search.
I still didn't even see the thing that you're talking about, so I don't know what it is you're talking
about. So I don't see the Hot Boy shirt, but I'm going to play this clip. They asked him about the shirt.
Dylan Gabriel just gave it to me. Our nickname for our wideouts are the Hot Boys.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dylan's hooked the guys up with some gear throughout, you know, Dime Time's kind of the theme. So this is the Dime Time World Tour Hot Boy shirt. Pretty cool.
Okay. The Hot Boys is the name of the
I wish I could direct you to the shirt because it's a great shirt.
Yeah, I can't find it.
I saw it last night on Twitter, and then I saw it because they live stream their show like we do. I saw it on YouTube as well.
My favorite Dan Lanning shirt is the one of him in a suit, you know, kind of cheekily smiling.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just says program.
Yeah, I can see that.
P-R-O-G-R-U-M.
Yeah.
Underneath it. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm terrified now to work any sort of Google search, but I've yet to see the Hot Boy shirt. You know what, at this point, I'm going to take your word that it's a cool shirt and
well, I've been saying this for much of the season. The Hot Boys.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's the group that can win Oregon the title.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Well, that's what beat Ohio State.
They're awesome.
Ohio State said, we can stop you from running the ball, and we're going to play man coverage, and good luck beating us. And they cooked them. And it forced them out of that look.
I just don't know how teams cover all those guys.
It's tough.
They're so good.
Yes. And unless you can get to Dylan Gabriel, and Ohio State couldn't. Ohio State put some pressure on.
Michigan
might be able to. Yeah.
That's why this game could be close.
Yeah. Michigan is going to have a defense. This will be a much better defense. defensive line than what they saw against Ohio State. It's just that we just don't think that Michigan can do anything offensively. But if Michigan can run the ball and control it, it's that if this game is played in the teens or in the low 20s, yeah, this could be kind of a scary game because Michigan's defense could, they could muck up what Oregon does. It's just they just have no offense to speak of.
All right. Do you want to hear about Michigan's quarterbacks?
Yeah, they all suck, but let's go.
Yeah, it's a real challenge, you know, with Warren and Orgy this week is they've figured out how to kind of use those guys in different ways. I think any time a team can run with a quarterback, it makes you use 11 guys to defend them, so that's always a challenge. But our guys have done a good job of prepping for that, so hopefully it shows up as well on Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you got to say that, but, I mean, when Orgy comes in the game, there's no threat of throwing the football. I mean, none. Think about this. When Michigan needed a touchdown to beat USC, there was like 2 minutes left and they had to go 80 plus yards. I've never seen this in the history of me watching football, minus like a service academy. And even then, Michigan didn't try to throw the ball.
No,
they were in a 2 minute drill and they were running.
Was that with Orgy?
That was with Orgy.
Yeah. Cause Warren can throw it a little bit.
Warren can throw
Orgy can't.
He cannot. And Warren doesn't throw it well, but they will attempt to throw it. Orgy, It's not even a thought. So, you know, it, when Orgy's in the game, my guess is it's probably nine guys near the line of scrimmage, man up on the outside, and then, you know, you got to cover Loveland. Their best offensive weapon besides running the ball is their tight end, who's really good. That would be more of the concern, is that when Michigan can throw a heavy look at you with two tight ends and two backs, and they do have two very big physical running backs, that's where a tight end like Loveland, who's one of the best in the country, he may be able to slip behind your linebackers. So I would be more concerned about him in the passing game than being able to get the ball out to the receivers, because they just don't throw.
Status of Jordan Birch. A lot of people talking. Will he be back?
Yeah, he did some limited stuff for us, and at the end of practice next week, we'll continue to evaluate and see what's best for him, right? And in turn, what's best for our team.
Okay. There's your non-answer.
You had to ask.
Yeah. Well, he said next week. I think he misspoke there.
Yeah,
or it was a Freudian slip that he won't be back until next week. Yeah.
Also possible.
By the way, I would just like to point out.
Point it out.
So
with your pointer.
So Alex Orgy and Davis Warren will be the quarterbacks. It sounds like Warren is going to be the starter, and then if you need a little changeup, maybe some packages with Orgy. Davis Warren, who is the quarterback that throws the ball, he is completing 67% of his passes. He has 3 touchdowns and 6 interceptions and a long completion of 33 yards. And I mentioned that Loveland, Colston Loveland, is their best threat. He's their tight end. He has 42 catches. Their next best weapon, their two receivers, their two starting receivers have 20 and 9 catches. Not 29, 20 and 9. Those are their grabs.
Well, look, we all know what they want to do and yes, what they value. So
anyway, that's what you're dealing with. And Alex Orgy, would you care to guess what his average pass goes for?
Ooh, not even 6.
3.4. 3.4 yards per completion.
3 of those and you have a first down.
That's right. 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but through the air.
Here is Dan Lanning on Michigan's defense.
Certainly one of the most talented defenses we've gone against. Their front is really, really impressive. Got some, you know, great interior defensive linemen and edge rushers. Got dynamic players in the back end. So I think there's as much talent on this defense as any defense we've played this year. And they're aggressive by nature. You know, they do a lot of different pressures, and they make it challenging for you to prepare for.
And that is where, like, the offensive stuff, you're just blowing smoke. But the defense is good. They've got NFL guys. When you look at the two guys in the middle, Grant and Graham, you won't find two better defensive linemen you're going to play all year. Josiah Stewart is an absolute beast. They got dudes on the defensive side of the ball, especially in the front. You know, Will Johnson coming into the year was kind of viewed as the best corner in college football, and he's been a little up and down. I think with Michigan's defense, when you take a look at them, I think they get frustrated, and I think they have to take chances that they normally don't have to, because they know that if you just play good defense, it's not enough. They need to manufacture big plays on defense because their offense can do nothing. And I think it leads at time to a player like Will Johnson, who has made some big plays jumping routes. I think you can get him on some double moves. I think you can get him being over aggressive, but that side of the ball is legit studs, NFL dudes, all three levels. And it'll be interesting to see, because after those first 2 weeks, Oregon's offensive line, when they made the shift and they got Ponchoin at center and they solidified the guards and the tackle started playing better, their O-line has been really good since that. And Gabriel has had all day. And even against Ohio State, they put some pressure, but they never really got to him. This will be a real test. I want to see how this O-line holds up in pass protection, because the guys they're facing, especially the interior guys, they will not have seen anything quite like this. And so it just going forward, when you start talking about, you know, potentially playing in the playoffs and the type of players you're playing against, this will be a nice little litmus test to see how far this O-line has come from weeks one and two to now.
Okay, we're into November. Well, we will be tomorrow. Dan Lanning's approach to the back end of the season.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
We adapt a lot. I always want to be proactive and not reactive, so I generally put down my plans for the next week's practice before we play the game before, right? And the thought process being, I don't want this game to impact what my thoughts are going into the next game and what I think our prep should look like. So, you know, before we play Illinois, I wrote down, hey, here's the things I want to make sure we're able to accomplish for the Michigan game. And then you'll have some tweaks based on, hey, this was a strength, this was a weakness, what do we need to make sure we incorporate more in practice? You'll do that. But yeah, we always try to plan it out in advance and really the season almost out in advance. When we get to this point in the season, we'd like to remove this period, add this period, whatever it might look like.
Well, it's kind of interesting. That's a little, you know, he doesn't give you a lot.
Yeah.
We don't get a ton of like behind the scenes insight, but yeah, for planning and stuff, that's cool.
Good little nugget.
Yeah.
We'll have to follow up on that.
Yeah.
Well, we can't now, because then he'll be like, well, I don't really talk about that.
It is true that even when he gives you a little something, that's it.
Well, so next week he'll be preparing for Wisconsin.
Correct.
So you can ask him if he's thought ahead 2 weeks past the bye to Maryland.
I should ask him about the college football championship game.
Oh,
see what
he
says.
You said you guys planned for the whole year, right?
Yeah.
The whole season.
That'll
what
be a
you,
big
what
one.
Have you planned for the championship game?
Who do you think you're going to play, coach?
Yeah, not certain.
Well, I think that's cool. Look, if there's one thing we know about him that I would love to peel back the layers of this onion way more, but he's just not going to do it. It's only the insiders know. He is as prepared and as thought out as any coach I've ever heard of.
Yes.
I mean, dude.
Yeah, he is.
He does not, there is not a stone unturned.
No, he is.
He is on top of it.
Well, and that Ohio State play breaking the rules thing was the perfect microcosm. He just had, he's thought of an answer for every presentable scenario across the board.
Yeah, he's really organized too with it. It's just.
Well, it's his, he's just, and that's the sort of, like I said, the type A personality obsessive that especially in this day and age, you need to be a winner. And he certainly has it.
Well, very much a coordinator thing too, you know,
yes.
That. And now he's a head coach. It kind of, well, maybe, I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. That was a dumb comment.
And someone did point out, and this is correct, and we don't know, Will Johnson, their best corner, he may not play.
His problem?
Well, he's got
a duck in Oregon?
He's got a leg. I don't remember if it's a leg or an ankle. He did not play.
He doesn't have two legs?
One got amputated, and we don't know. So he didn't play against Michigan State, and at the beginning of the week, Moore, the Michigan coach, said that it's not like a long-term thing. He'll be out there, but we'll see how it goes this week. So whether he plays, he may not play in this one against Oregon. Shocking development of coaches being very non-committal, other than it's not season-ending. It's not something that's going to keep him out a month, but he may not go against Oregon. So something to keep an eye on when they're out there. You will see number two out there
Derek Jeter.
Will Johnson, number two. So we'll see, you know, game time decision. We'll see if he's out there warming up. And if not, that's a big advantage, because you would assume that, you know, playing those receivers, the hot boys, without your best corner, that's a big deal.
Well, now to the big stuff, Jace.
Yeah.
What is Dan Lanning's favorite Halloween costume?
We asked the tough questions, or in this case, Jorgie asked the tough question.
My grandma actually made it for me. She made me a teenage mutant Ninja Turtles like outfit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Leonardo, sword. Right, it's all about the weapons. Who had the coolest weapons? Like, Raphael was cool, right? But you definitely aren't picking the guy with the staff. You're not, you know. So it was definitely sword.
Yeah, there you go. What do you think of that?
I disagree.
That's a little dates him, because the Mutant Ninja Turtles were after my time,
and that is exactly my wheelhouse, and we're almost exactly the same age.
Yeah,
and so yeah, I was a big Leonardo guy too.
I
because of the sword.
Yeah, and he wore the blue headband. I like that one the best.
Well, he's claiming that the sword is the coolest, and that's just not... And maybe I'm showing my age, because the coolest martial art weapon, it's not even close. It's the nunchucks. Are you kidding me?
Was there one with nunchucks?
Yeah, Michelangelo had the nunchucks.
And now, he was the orange.
He was the goofy one who ate the pizza.
So maybe he can't go orange because of beaver colors, but, dude, if we're talking... Like, I grew up at the peak of cheesy martial arts, and there was nothing... that said 1980s, like throwing stars and nunchucks. Now, they didn't use throwing stars, but nunchucks, come on. You're telling me that a samurai sword, a katana, was cooler than nunchucks? I'm calling them out on that.
Might do more damage.
I'll push back on that. Well, they didn't cut anyone with the sword. It was
sounds like you know what you're talking to him about next Thursday.
Yeah, I'm pushing back. Now, I will say that the stupid staff, come on, Donatello.
Donatello was fourth by a wide margin. He was the White Sox of that
group.
Yeah,
that's dumb.
You got a wooden staff? Yeah.
And he was the nerd, too. He was like the scientist guy.
So Leonardo
had the sword. Michelangelo had the nunchucks.
Raphael had the scythe.
The two little...
Oh, the scythe.
The little, like, dagger, kind of trident dagger things.
And then, Donatello had the stupid wooden staff.
Was there a female Mutant Ninja Turtle?
No, but there was April O'Neil, and she was the reporter.
Yeah, she was the news reporter who kind of helped keep him out of trouble. And then they had their sensei, Splinter the Rat.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I didn't know you guys knew so much about Ninja Turtles.
Oh, they were going up against Shredder?
I played a lot of... I used to go to the arcades a lot and play like the Nickelcades. And one of the best games there was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Turtles in Time?
Turtles in Time.
Yeah.
It was good times.
Buckley agrees.
Yeah.
Turtles in Time ruled.
All right, well, there is your non-Dan Lanning, Dan Lanning segment with Lanning Audio.
And Ninja Turtle Time.
Tune in for Dan's interviews every Thursday at 4, brought to you by Unitas Community Credit Union. Like a coach's playbook, Unitas has a winning strategy for your finances. You, us, Unitas.
And then the best Ninja Turtle was still Shredder. Shredder was by far the coolest one.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, the evil villain?
The evil villain.
Yeah.
I was going to say that.
Well, he was the evil villain.
Okay,
the villain
he,
was
so
cool.
He wasn't a ninja.
I would not side with him being the coolest.
He was by far the coolest. It's like Skeletor.
It's like saying Darth Vader's the coolest.
He was the coolest. He was the best part about those movies. Shredder all day.
I don't feel like Buck agrees.
No.
And you guys should fight it out.
My grandparents took me to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2: Secret of the Ooze in the movie theater with
Secret
Vanilla
of the
Ice.
Ooze,
yeah, with Vanilla Ice.
I'm gonna need you you come back. I've talked about this.
Go Ninja
times.
Go.
I'm gonna need you to come back with the
I'm finding it
classic Go Ninja Go, wrapped by Vanilla Ice in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2: Secret of the Ooze.
Give me G.I. Joe all day.
G.I. Joe is pretty badass
over Ninja Turtles.
If we're going, because you said best Halloween costume, maybe the best Christmas present that I ever got was the G.I. Joe airplane. The F-14.
Badass.
With Sky Striker as the pilot. I always wanted the aircraft carrier, but it was like $400 and my parents would never buy it for me. But I did get the airplane. Ho, 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 ho. Dude, that thing was tease.
All right.
What are we doing? Why are we eating?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what we're going to do next. I don't know.
Talk about G.I. Joe?
I don't know. See the NBA TV numbers?
No. Not good?
No one's watching.
Do they need more fights like the guy with the vacation house?
Yeah. They need something.
I'll tell you what, the NBA couldn't be further off my radar.
They need something.
I'd be more likely to watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 right now than a random NBA game.
All right, we'll get to those numbers next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.